Seeking the Lord's help and blessing, let us turn back to the portion of Scripture that we read in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18, and we'll read at verse 35. And he drew near to Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And so on. Now, I am of the opinion, just like the parables, that the miracles that are recorded for us in the Gospels are meant to teach us not only that Jesus is truly the Son of God, but that they are also to teach us some things about ourselves. Those miracles certainly took place. People were healed, even raised from the dead. But I am of the opinion that they also have a spiritual lesson to teach us. Let us remember that Jesus did more miracles than what we have recorded for us in the Gospels. The Apostle John in his Gospel testifies, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." This morning we are looking at Luke's account of the healing of the blind man, whom Jesus met as he was making his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. We have this miracle recorded for us in three of the Gospels, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There are slight variations in the accounts that has caused some difficulty for people. However, we can be assured that in spite of these apparent discrepancies, that the three passages do refer to the same incident. We shall get these apparent discrepancies out of the way. The Matthew account, which we have in chapter 20, cites two men healed as Jesus left Jericho. While the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10 and Luke here refer to only one blind man healed. And Luke says it happened as Jesus was entering Jericho, while Mark records it happening as Jesus left Jericho. There are those who will immediately jump and claim that this is a contradiction and that the Bible is in error. However, let us try to explain those apparent discrepancies. First of all, we claim that all three Gospels are reporting the same incident or the same event. And this can be evidenced by the similarity of the accounts, beginning with the two beggars sitting by the roadside. For instance, they call out to Jesus, referring to him as the Son of David. And in all three accounts, they are rebuked by those nearby and told to be quiet, but they continue to shout out to Jesus. The three accounts described nearly identical conversations that took place between Jesus and the beggars. And the conclusions of the stories are identical. The beggars receive their sight and they immediately follow Jesus. Only Mark chooses to identify one of the beggars and names him as Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. Perhaps he names him because Bartimaeus was known to Mark's readers, or they knew Bartimaeus' father, Timaeus, whereas the other blind man was a stranger to them. In any case, the fact that Mark and Luke only mention one beggar does not contradict Matthew's account. Mark and Luke never say that there was only one beggar. They simply focus on this one named Bartimaeus. who was probably the more vocal of the two. Matthew refers to both of the blind men calling out to Jesus, clearly indicating that there were two. The other issue in question is whether Jesus was entering Jericho or leaving it. The Bible commentators cite the fact that there were two Jerichos, one on the Mount of the Ancient City, which as far as I know is still existing today, and the other, the inhabited city of Jericho. Therefore, Jesus could have healed the two men as he was leaving the ancient city of Jericho and entering the new city of Jericho. We are told that the Jericho of the New Testament times was built by Herod, more than a mile to the south of the Old Testament location, and that today the modern city of Jericho includes both sites. It is also reckoned by some scholars that at this time, Jericho had around 100,000 people living in it, so it was a very crowded city. However, we must not focus on these details and miss the point of the story. Jesus, by his miracles, were proving that he was indeed the Son of God. It is prophesied for him, for instance, in the book of Isaiah, that when the Messiah would come, he would heal the blind. But he is also teaching us some spiritual lessons. Matthew says that Jesus had compassion on them and that he touched their eyes before he gave them their sight. And he notes that both followed Jesus. Mark, on the other hand, draws our attention to the fact when Bartimaeus was called, that he threw off his garment, that he rose up, and that he came to Jesus. But as I said this morning, we are going to focus much on Luke's account of the healing, and hence on the speaker that Mark named Bartimaeus. Luke says, "And as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.'" We know that in general, that large multitudes went along with Jesus and his disciples wherever he went. And as Jesus and the multitudes were making their way down the road, the beggar heard the commotion, and he knew from the noise that there was something different going on that day. The beggar probably sat by the roadside day after day begging. He would be seeking gifts from those who were passing by, for there was nothing else that he could do, for he was a blind man living in a culture that made no special provision for the blind. In this miracle, like all miracles, the first thing that I see is the sovereignty of God, that he is in full control. This meeting of Jesus and the beggar was no accident. It was not just a chance meeting, although to us it may look like that it was all a coincidence. But the truth is that this meeting was part of the ruling power of God. This meeting was by God's appointment. Also, we see that the beggar was by the roadside begging. He made use, as we have noted, of the only provision that was available to him. Although he could not see, nevertheless he made use of his ears. For we are told, on hearing a crowd going by, that he made his inquiry. Well, what lessons can this have for me and you this morning? First of all, our meeting this morning, it is no coincidence that I am preaching and that you are listening. We are both together in this manner this morning by the sovereign hand of God. It is God that has brought me to preach this morning, and it is God that has brought you to hear this morning. Secondly, just as a beggar made use of the only provision that was available for him to ease his situation, for he would forever praise the Lord that he was found by the roadside on that day, that he made use of the provision that was provided for him. And you and me, the gospel is the only provision made available to sinners to bring us to salvation. And this is why the Apostle Paul boasts in the gospel as he wrote his letter to the Romans, and he cries out, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The beggar Bartimaeus would forever be thankful for the provision that was given to him, and that he acted upon his responsibility that day to be found by the roadside. We not only see the sovereignty of God, but the responsibility of the blind man himself. Think of it if he had responded differently and stayed at home that day. For you this morning, it is a good thing that you are found where the gospel is declared, where the gospel is preached, to be found in the way. The way to meet the King is always to be on the King's highway. And the way to meet Christ, the Saviour of sinners, is to be found on his highway, the highway of the gospel. And we know that the highway of the gospel has brought blessings to many. So we are here today by the sovereign hand of God. And we are here today because we have acted upon the responsibility that God has afforded to us to be found where his word is declared. The beggar Bartimaeus heard a noise, and he recognized that it was a different noise in comparison to other days. Maybe you are listening to the gospel this morning, and for many years you have been by the highway of the gospel. But recently, perhaps even this morning, something has caught your attention. It is so different in comparison to other times that you have been under the preaching of the gospel. It is so different to other times that you have been under the word of God. There is something different today. There is something that has caught your attention. Just like Bartimaeus was on that day, there was a different noise that day in comparison to the other days. For Bartimaeus, it led him to ask what it meant. Have you ever asked that question? What does the gospel mean? Why do people preach? And why do people gather together to listen to the gospel? What does it all mean? Well, Bartimaeus was told, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." This is what all the noise is about. This is what all the commotion is about. Well, my friend, that is what the gospel is all about. Jesus of Nazareth. The gospel is all about Jesus. For Bartimaeus, this was the greatest news he ever heard. And for me and you this morning, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest news that we can ever hear. But I am sure he took hold of these words that was reported to him. "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." These words, "passing by." For Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem and the cross. He was not going to lodge in Jericho. This was an opportunity that Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, must take, for Jesus was passing by. We can ask, why was this such great news for Bartimaeus, and how can it be the greatest news that I and you will ever hear? Well, although Bartimaeus could not see Jesus, there were several things that he could see. And there are several things that you and I need to see as well. Although he was physically blind, yet there were certain things that he could see. He could see his need. He was conscious of his need. He was aware of his need. And that is what we all need to see. That is what we all need to be made aware of. That is what we all need to be conscious of. Our need for Jesus. Our need for salvation. Our need for to be reconciled to God. Our need to be at peace with God. In all the miracles, there is always an analogy between the physical needs of the body and our spiritual needs. Spiritually, we are all blind. That is why we need the work of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. Paul writes in Ephesians, having their understanding darkened, been alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. To the church at Corinth, Paul writes, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Well, the great question for me and you today is, do you see your need for a Saviour? Do you see your need to be reconciled to God? If not, ask the Holy Spirit to show you your great need of Jesus. Earlier in this chapter, we are told of a young rich ruler who approached Jesus with a very important question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Here we have a man who has his physical eyesight, but who is blinded to his spiritual needs because of his wealth. When he heard what Jesus had to say, we are told that he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Bartimaeus, although physically blind, yet he saw his need. Here was a man who for his whole life up to this point lived his life dependent upon others. Maybe that is a picture of yourself this morning. Maybe up to this point in your life you have lived your life dependent upon others for your salvation. Maybe dependent upon the prayers of your parents or grandparents or friends. Just like Bartimaeus, who lived his life up to this point dependent on others. But today, his life was going to be changed. Because not only did Bartimaeus see his need, but he saw who Jesus was. Somewhere and somehow, he had heard of Jesus. He had heard how Jesus had given sight to others who were blind. But more than that, many of the people may have called him Jesus of Nazareth, That was how he was introduced to Bartimaeus. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But as we come to see Bartimaeus, we see that he called him Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. This title does not appear often in the Gospels, but it is a title. It is a term that would have been remarkably familiar to any Jew who knew the Old Testament. The title Son of David became a messianic title. In the days of Jesus, there was a strong hope and expectation for a king who would restore Israel to its former glory and liberate it from Roman power and oppression. Most of the people around him only saw Jesus as a preacher, a miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus saw him as God's appointed and anointed servant, the Saviour, the Messiah. Bartimaeus cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And as we have already noted, Bartimaeus saw his need. And I believe that he saw his need not only physically, but spiritually. He sought mercy. And although mercy may mean relief shown to someone who is in a desperate need, mercy is more often associated with sin. And in its fullest sense, it is the grace by which God restores the sinner from his lost condition. That is true mercy. Throughout the book of Psalms, we have many instances where the psalmist prays for mercy. For instance, in the psalm that we sung in Gaelic this morning, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. When Bartimaeus was asking for mercy, he was asking for more than his physical sight. He was seeking salvation. He was seeking to be reconciled to God. Then those who went before him told him to be quiet. They rebuked him. It is very often the case that when a person gets interested in the gospel or desires to seek salvation, to be saved and forgiven and become a follower of Jesus Christ, opposition always arises. Maybe for a long time, you have been seeking salvation. And as you come closer to submitting yourself to Jesus, others may notice signs that a change has come over your life. Maybe you are not frequenting places where you have been, as they say, the soul of the place. You are seen less often in those places. Maybe your language is more seasoned. Maybe you are more defensive of the gospel and the church than you used to be. And as these changes are taking place, there may be friends or even family members who try to discourage you. But while that opposition is from the outside, there may also be a great struggle inside. You know that inwardly, your thoughts and motives and desires are so often not clean in God's sight. Maybe this morning that is the most painful opposition of all. Maybe you're saying, well, I can deal with the opposition from the outside, from my friends and my family. But I struggle with the opposition that I find within myself. Maybe you are concluding, what is the use? What is the point? I will not be able to stand. I will not be able to continue following Jesus. I will only bring disgrace on myself and my family. Bartimaeus, if he looked for an excuse from coming to Jesus or following Jesus, he could have had many excuses. Bartimaeus could have said, who am I besides these disciples of Jesus Christ? Who am I beside John? Who am I beside James? Who am I beside Matthew? Who am I beside those disciples of Jesus Christ? You know, it is never easy for any of us to make our way to Jesus. For we are all found in some measure to be in a hostile environment, whether it be at home, or whether it be at work, or whether it be in school, or in our community. But we have to engage with that hostility and opposition to our coming to Jesus. Bartimaeus came to the point where he did consider the hostility and opposition to be no more a stumbling block for him, as in his case, as in my case and your case, it is a desperate case which only Jesus could meet. Have you come to that point in your own experience where you see your greatest and most desperate need as a sinner, which only Jesus can meet? And in spite of all the hostility, and in spite of all the opposition, nothing is going to keep you from coming and crying to Jesus for forgiveness, for mercy. Well, take a lead from this beggar. Despite all the opposition from without and possibly from within, he persisted in crying. We are told that he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let nothing stand between you and your salvation. He kept crying for mercy over the noise of the crowd that was rebuking him. He would not give up on his desire to have mercy. Sadly, there are many who come to a point and they go no further. Opposition arises, and they stay where they are, outside of salvation, like the seed that fell on the rocky ground and among the thorns. They come to a point and they stay there and they go no further because of the opposition from outside and from within. Well, take a lead from this beggar. It did not hold him back, but the more he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He became more earnest in his cry. Bartimaeus' persistence was rewarded. For we read, Jesus stopped. I think these are the most wonderful and encouraging words that we have in this whole narrative. The beggar, because of his persistence, got the attention of Jesus. Jesus stopped. The question can be asked, did Jesus hear him the first time he cried out? Well, I think he did. But he wanted to prove the genuineness of the cry. You see, true faith is always persistent. True faith never gives up. Jesus' silence to Bartimaeus was a test to ensure that he was a genuine seeker of mercy. Jesus stopped. He stood still because from amongst all the noise of the crowd, he heard a genuine voice that was persistent and that was crying for mercy. Matthew tells us that both beggars cried out to Jesus and that Jesus had compassion upon them both. The theme of God's compassion is one that rolls throughout the Bible. This morning it is important for us to know the attitude of the Father's heart for sinners like me and you. We recently spoke of the prodigal son, and as he was coming back from the land that was far away, his great desire of his heart was to know his father's attitude to him. How would his father receive him? Well, here we're told that Jesus had compassion upon him. The God-man who reveals God to us. The compassion of Jesus is the compassion of God. And the heart of Jesus is the heart of God. And here Bartimaeus wanted to know Jesus' attitude. And here Jesus reveals his attitude, and in revealing his attitude also reveals to us the attitude of the Father's heart. He had compassion on him. There's an insight of God that encourages sinners like me and you to come to him. Here is great encouragement for the sinner to see Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, seeing the Father, seeing God in his compassion, he has time for everyone who needs him. Satan may whisper in your ear, he will not listen to you. But look at the evidence set here before us by this blind beggar. Jesus stopped. He heard him. And he commanded him to be brought to him. Mark tells us, and they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. The words, take heart, or be encouraged, they're great words. This morning, sinner, you take heart and be encouraged. As Jesus calls you and says to you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. And he gives to each one of us the promise, and to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Well, what about yourself this morning? You have been called by the gospel. And what is your response? Maybe you are content just to remain where you are. Or maybe you are promising yourself plenty of time. Remember the message. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. As Paul reminds us, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The gospel is always proclaimed in terms of today, never in terms of tomorrow. It is always in terms of today. Friends, we do not know what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Now is the time. Now is a time of opportunity. Tomorrow may be too late. Grasp this time of opportunity and grace and rise up and come to Jesus for salvation. Note the beggar's reply. Lord, let me recover my sight. He addresses Jesus as Lord. Writing to the church at Philippi, Paul writes that the day is coming when at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, although Paul there is speaking of the second coming and the judgment day, there is a sense which by faith we acknowledge Jesus not only as Saviour but also as Lord now in the present. When Bartimaeus addresses Jesus as Lord, it was more than just a mark of respect. It was a confession of his faith. He was submitting himself to Jesus as Lord, Lord of his life. And immediately Jesus confirmed that Bartimaeus was a man of faith. Recover your sight, your faith has made you well. It was Jesus who healed Bartimaeus. But he received Jesus by faith. And therefore faith was the channel by which he received his salvation. B.B. Warfield says that it is Christ that saves through faith. The saving power resides exclusively not in the act of faith or the attitude of faith or the nature of faith, but in the object of faith, Christ himself. Now, saving faith is always personal. This was a personal interaction between himself and Jesus. And if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be forgiven, if you're going to have peace with God, if you're going to be reconciled to God, it must be a personal act between yourself and Jesus. The gospel call is for everyone to trust personally in Jesus Christ. To be able to say, truly from the heart, the Lord is my shepherd. He is mine. He is my shepherd. We are told that there are three essential elements to faith. There is knowledge, for it is impossible to have faith in Jesus Christ without knowledge who he is and what he has done. For Bartimaeus, we have already noted his faith met knowing that Jesus was the Son of David, that he was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who had power to heal. For you this morning, faith means knowing that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and that he has done what the Bible says he has done on the cross of Golgotha. For we preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen and ascended, and the one who is coming back. Faith means knowing that Jesus Christ is a crucified, risen, ascended Savior who offers redemption from sin, who offers reconciliation to God. The second essential element to faith is belief. That means accepting the message of the gospel. It means not just knowing what the Bible says about Jesus. We all know, I hope, gathered to you today, what the Bible says about Jesus. But faith means not just knowing what the Bible says about Jesus, but accepting from the heart what the Bible says about Jesus, that it is true. That it is true. And the third element is trust, which, as Martin Luther explained, there is a difference between faith that believes what is said of God is true and the faith which throws itself on God. Faith is resting absolutely, totally on Jesus Christ for salvation. Bartimaeus was a good example of this. He had knowledge of who Jesus was, and he accepted what he had heard about Jesus. He called him Lord. Abba, and he rested absolutely on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I would like to think that everyone gathered here today believes what is said of God is true. But I fear that not everyone who believes what is said of God is true has thrown themselves on God through Jesus Christ for salvation. And that is an important, essential element of true saving faith, throwing yourself on Jesus for salvation. We are told here, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. By exercising faith, he received a blessing. He received his sight, and he saw Jesus with his own eyes. He first saw Jesus, and then he saw the beauty of all the creation that was around him. He could truly sing, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." In saving Bartimaeus and restoring his physical sight to him, Bartimaeus was given a glimpse of what still awaits him on a greater level. And that is the new heavens and the new earth. We are told, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. We see in Bartimaeus the evidence of saving faith. It leads to a whole life of following Jesus, to a life of worship, to a life of obedience. He went on his way, glorifying God. He started to live the purpose for which he was created. That was to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And when others saw what happened in this man's life, we are told, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. He followed Jesus. Jesus was on the way to the cross. It is quite possible that Bartimaeus was at Golgotha. It is quite possible. Because Jesus was on the way, passing through Jericho, on the way to Jerusalem, to the cross. And we are told that Bartimaeus followed him. Maybe followed him to Golgotha. Now Jesus has come your way this morning. And he is calling you in the preaching of the gospel. And he is passing by. Will you not cry to him by faith? This was an important opportunity for Bartimaeus. This was never to be repeated again for him. How many opportunities have you allowed to pass you by? And remember, this morning may be your last. For the last opportunity to come and to throw yourself upon Jesus for salvation will come. The last opportunity will come. Will you call on him today by faith? To have mercy upon you, to forgive you your sins, to reconcile you to God. Another blind man uttered words that Bartimaeus could say, and every person who has faith in Jesus Christ can say, whereas I was blind, now I see. Remember Newton's famous poem, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Well, will you not join Bartimaeus and Newton among others and come and join yourself to the ranks of the saved? May the Lord bless our thoughts. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed God, we give thanks today that thou art a compassionate God, that thou can have compassion upon the sinner that will come to thee and cry to thee for forgiveness and for mercy, and that those who will come to thee, thou hast given the promise that thou wilt not cast them out. So we pray, O Lord, that as thou passest by in the preaching of the gospel today, that there would be voices which we do not hear, but thou hearest, of a people who are crying out, "Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, have mercy upon me." We pray, Lord, that thou would continue with us during this thy day, that thou would come before us as we gather together, if it is according to thy sovereign will, in the evening. And all that we ask for the forgiveness of our many sins, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We shall conclude by singing to the Lord's praise from Psalm 116 on page 395. "I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear." And we shall sing down to verse number 6. That is Psalm 116 from verse 1 to 6. And we stand to sing. "I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he
I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.